You know, sometimes the events of life can leave us disappointed. Events of life can sometimes discourage us and make us feel like we have been defeated. I dare say that's probably happened to every one of us at one time or the other. And I don't have to tell you tonight, my friends, that Satan is very skillful in using this tool that he has, using people and circumstances to cause us despair, to make us wonder, will there be a tomorrow? And how much worse can our lives get? And I'm sure both of those thoughts have went through all of our minds. You know, no one is immune from having a bad day. Even the most optimistic and the most enthusiastic people among us can become stagnant and look at life gloomy at times. But I am thankful that we have a God that can lift our hearts, a God that can lift our spirits, and He does this through His abiding promises that He gives to us through His Word. You know, everyone needs encouragement because this world has a way of troubling our hearts. The Lord knows that there are many things that can weigh us down. And He speaks through His Word to give us comfort, to give us reassurance that His will see us through the dark valleys of our life. You know, I think David expressed this in a wonderful way when we look at the 23rd Psalm. Verse 4 of the 23rd Psalm says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." We can always look to God's word for strength and for comfort. You know, when Jesus was here on the night of his betrayal, with the shadow of the cross looming over him, knowing what was about to happen to him, knowing that he was approaching the death that he came for to experience, Jesus wanted to assure his disciples that God's will was being done. Now, you know, when he told them that he would have to go to the cross, that he would die and rise again the third day, that didn't set well with the disciples because they couldn't think of their Lord dying. And they didn't want to accept that. But he wanted the disciples to know that his promises that he had made to them would remain even though he would have to experience this cruel death on the cross of Calvary. He also knew that their hearts would be hurting when he left this earth to go back to the Father in heaven. He knew they would wonder, how can we make it? He knew that they would be asking the question, what can we do without our Lord and without our Master? And they would wonder how they could go on in life. And you know, that question has probably come to us on several occasions. How can we get over this? How can we survive and live in a better way? These thoughts had to be going on through the disciples' minds. But I want you to know that Jesus answered every one of these questions in one passage of Scripture. We can turn over to John chapter 14 and read the first three verses. And we will hear some beautiful words coming from the lips of Jesus as he spoke to calm the disciples with their troubled hearts. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." You know, every time we hear these words, we should be comforted by the fact that Jesus is near us, that He is doing some wonderful things to reassure us that we have a life that is far better awaiting for us someday. Just imagine what these words can do for the troubled heart. Jesus is saying that your faith in God can take your troubles away. There is a place that is being made just for you, and it is with the Lord in heaven. Now here's a thought. God created this world, our world, in 6 days, and everything in it. We understand the beauty and the majesty of this earth. And it is indeed a beautiful place. And every corner of the earth has its own style of beauty that we can see evidently in our lives. But just think about this. Jesus has gone back to heaven 2,000 years ago to prepare for us an eternal world. He's been working on it now for 2,000 years. Just imagine what it will be like. As we look at the beauties of our world here, just imagine what Jesus is doing, and it's taking Him 2,000 years to create. For this lesson, I want us to look at this passage of Scripture. And I want us to see what these words can actually mean to us. When Jesus tells us, "Let not your heart be troubled." First of all, I want to suggest to you that these words speak of peace. Now, we all love to be peaceful, don't we? We don't like calamity in our lives. We don't like difficulties to pop up in our lives. There are times that we become sad, that we become discouraged, and sometimes we even become angry because life don't go the way we think it should, or it goes in a way that we simply do not appreciate. You know, the word troubled in the Greek is terasso. And if you look this word up, it simply means to stir up or to agitate. Has anybody in here ever been stirred up before? Have we ever been agitated before? Sure we have. From the youngest to the oldest, we have all experienced that. It is as if our hearts are being tossed to and fro upon a stormy sea. We talked about the stormy sea this morning when Jesus walked on the water and Peter tried. And just as Jesus had stilled the storms upon the sea, He is now stilling the storms within our heart. He has the ability to do that if we will allow Him. As He spoke to the winds and the waves, He is now saying to our hearts, "Peace, be still." And again, He is capable of doing that. The first words that Jesus spoke to His faithful followers after His resurrection was this: "Peace be unto you. You have been troubled, you have been disturbed, you have been destroyed because of His death. And now He's here. Peace be still. Peace be to you." You know, Isaiah labeled Jesus as the Prince of Peace in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. We do know that Jesus' words, or that Jesus came to give us words of peace. John 14 verse 27. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you." But then He tells His disciples once again, "Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Jesus has come to give us peace. Isn't that a wonderful thought? And then, these words of Jesus speak of preparation. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. The purpose of his death, burial, and resurrection was that he might go to prepare an eternal heavenly home for his disciples. The work of Jesus did not cease just because they nailed him to a cross. He would live on, and his work would continue even after he went back into heaven. He is still working for you and me today. And by the same token, he tells us that our work must continue as well. After the establishment of the church in Acts chapter 2, we know for a fact that Christianity is spread like wildfire. Upon the first day of Christianity, the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were added to the church that day. In Acts chapter 5, verse 14, it speaks of multitudes of both men and women being added to the Lord. But this is the verse that catches my attention. Acts chapter 5 and verse 42. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching God's word. Jesus is preparing for us, and we need to continue to prepare for him. Next, the words of Jesus speak of a promise. The words of the promise are found in verse 3 of our text. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Just as surely as Jesus would be preparing a place for his faithful, he gives even greater assurance in this promise that I'm coming back. Yes, I'm going to leave you for a while, but I'm coming back. And I'm coming back for you. And I'm going to take you with me. And you're going to be with me in heaven. You're going to live with me in heaven for all eternity. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Yes, the disciples were sad. They were perplexed at the thought that Jesus would be leaving them. But this was a temporary separation. And the purpose for this separation was so that he could prepare for us a tremendous reward. He had done everything that he came on earth to do, but his job was not finished. Now he is building our mansion. You have a mansion. I have a mansion. We all have a mansion in heaven that Jesus is preparing for us. He is getting everything ready for us to come and live with him. And then finally, Jesus' words speak of a path. In verses 4 through 6, we find these words of Jesus' path. And where I go, you know. And the way, you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way for us to make that trip to heaven. He is the only avenue to that promised place of peace. It is a prepared place, and it is only for them who love him, and only for them who serve him. You know, it's interesting to note that he is telling us that he is the way, and in telling us this, he is also telling us that there is no other way. Now, if you got in your car in the morning and you drove to Atlanta, there is more than one way to get to Atlanta. We like to go the route through Columbus, going to Atlanta to avoid I-75. But I-75 is a straight shot into Atlanta. And yes, there are other ways to get there. But to get to God, to get to heaven, there is only one way. Not only is he the way, he is the only way. Not only is he a truth, he is the only truth. And only does he offer life, he is the only one that can offer life. So the path to heaven is clear. Only the footsteps of Jesus will lead us there. And who better to follow? We certainly do not want to follow those who create our uncertainties of life, who create all of our difficulties of life. And it is far, far too difficult for us to find our way alone. We know already we can't do that. So as we walk looking for that fateless day, we need to know that only Jesus can take us there. What a wonderful home that he is preparing for us. This picture does it no justice. And what wonderful words to come from Jesus to comfort our troubled hearts. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, there you may be also. Tonight, my friends, if you are outside of Christ, this home can be yours. If you will come unto him, if you will learn of him, if you will obey him, if you will give your life to him, he will give you rest, and it will be for all eternity. It may be that as a Christian you have left Christ. If that be the case, you need to repent of your sins and come back to him. Follow him once again. Let him lead you to your mansion that is waiting for you in heaven. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand to sing this song.